Before we get started, I'd like to have a little bit of an open frame. And do you have anything that percolated up from yesterday to today? Questions, comments, interesting experiences that may have come up through the night? Yeah.
Some small story. My wife told me this morning, she's from Taiwan, which is Chinese culture. She brought up a random story that last year when she wanted to go past someone, she touched the person on the shoulder like to say, sorry, excuse me. And this woman turned around and said, how dare you touch me? And was going off in public about how that's so unacceptable. And I was thinking about what we were experimenting yesterday with, like, how touching is good or can be good. And yeah, but that there's a cultural context that can be very, very, can be a minefield if you're not aware of it. So I was surprised to hear that. I didn't think it fits well, but this is more anecdote.
Right.
From this morning.
Yeah, it's a good example. You know, again, it's so context dependent and your intent. And then all of those things we mentioned yesterday, the quality, the duration of the touch, all of those things can make a huge difference.
So we have my wife has her friend visiting from Nebraska. She works at a dental office. And I was telling her a lot about what I was learning. And for her, the Midwest, and this is all kind of San Francisco and first trip out to the West Coast. And she's going through some hard times in her job and her life, I think. And she was really listening intently to what I was saying. But every time I stopped, she'd say, well, I can't do that because I have kids. And she would just have so many, like, limiting beliefs, even though she was really listening to what I was saying and how she could logically understand how this is powerful stuff. Because I also had complimented it with other stuff I've been looking at on YouTube and stuff. But she just, it made me realize that people in this room are truly at a place where they're open to employing this for their life. Because there are other people who can hear it and rationally understand that it's powerful, but they just think it's for somebody else, and they're stuck in their world, and Lincoln, it's so different, and there's so many, they're so buried in negative thinking that it would take a lot more time to work with them to get over those things. And they would need to want that. They need to want to go there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's gotten to a point where she's almost convinced that her life is really for some other people now. Mm-hmm. And that she'll never have her dreams.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad.
Well, you know, there's two things come up for me in that. One is that we're going to learn a lot about the difference between the map and the territory, and how our map of the territory is what we respond to in the world. And it's what guides how we perceive the world and how we navigate around in the world. And so it's our map that either limits us or empowers us. And that's so much of NLP is about working with the map. And so hearing somebody's map that might be limiting to them, kind of a thing, and going, if they want to get where they want to go, we as NLP practitioners go, okay, let's understand how your map gets you to this place, and can we enrich it so that it gets you where you want to go? And so that's the one side. The other is, and I would imagine you're all experiencing this on some level, is that learning NLP is a lot like putting a puzzle together with no edge pieces, right? Most people, when they put together a puzzle, you start with the edge, you know, you define the border, and then you work your way in, and eventually this picture starts to form. NLP is a little bit more like you get a piece here, and a piece here, and a piece here, and then these chunks fit together, and those chunks fit together, and then those chunks fit together, and eventually this sort of landscape starts to unfold as to what NLP is. But when you just have a chunk or two here and there and you don't see how the whole thing kind of interconnects, it can be because you don't quite have enough of the picture yet, it's not quite clear how all these things work together. And so that's where if they understand a little bit more of the pieces, then they go, oh, well, now I get it. Now I can see where this is going.
As far as your life goes, when we touch people, they usually, when we come up on the side, they see us coming. That would be surprising.
Well, what I do with you too, because when it's crowded and I want to go past someone, I like to normally announce myself by, I'm sorry, excuse me, and I go past, so people never yelled at me when I did that. I'm sorry you're touching, by the way.
His wife, she's just needs to be able to chunk it down to the pieces that she can control. She doesn't feel in control of it.
That was her friend, actually.
Okay, her friend then.
Yeah.
Still need to chunk it down.
Yeah, you know, one other thought on the touching. I mentioned working in the youth corrections facility, and we had, I can't remember the exact percentage, but I'd say maybe 30, 40% of the kids in there were sex offenders. They perceive touch very differently, whether they've been on the abuse end of it, which many, if not all of them were, but also on the perpetrator side of it. They perceive touch differently. So we had a policy of no touch in the facility, that we don't touch the kids, even though sometimes we had to physically restrain them, unfortunately. Especially, you know, therapeutically oriented people can sometimes be very, they want to be supportive, so the pats on the back and the, you know, the hug, good job, you know, that kind of thing. Even the little, you know, the fist bump thing, you know, between the guys. And we couldn't do that because they interpret touch differently. So the point of it is just to be aware that not everybody perceives touch in the same way and the context and so on. And I think it's just good to be aware of that. Then you can be more at choice with it. There were a couple others.
I really like the way you said, what brought her into the place, didn't refer to vice versa. What brought her into this place where she is right now. So, well, it's all about our strengths. We have specific strengths that brought us, that help us to move over some obstacles and can bring us over in different places on our map.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, and that's also brings up a big part of NLP is we assume that, and I think it's up here on, let's see, where is it? People have already have all the resources they need. It's one of the assumptions that we make in NLP, and we'll talk more about these assumptions, presuppositions that we call them, is that you have everything you need inside you already. It's just now finding, like those strengths you mentioned, they're in there somewhere. Is how do you access them and then make them available in the context where you would want them, where it would be useful to have them. And so there's a whole domain of NLP techniques that are designed and intended to do that. And we're gonna get into some of that this afternoon.
I think in, you know, learning all these strategies and everything, we need to realize that there are people who are in a protected state for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking about consequences of what we're doing, there are times you have to think about what are you opening up? Do you have the time, the process to open that up? Or are you just opening up something that is, you know, you're gonna leave it in a worse state because some people really have that need to protect themselves. And I think also there are people that just are ready to get offended. It doesn't matter. I mean, my husband said hello to the neighbor, and he says, I'm not your neighbor. You know, I mean, you think there's nothing wrong with saying hello or touching somebody lightly in a pass, but some people are just ready to be offended, too.
It's such a good point. I'm glad you bring it up, because as we go through, you're going to learn more about a concept called ecology in NLP, and it's sort of the idea that you, to be mindful of just what you're saying, that, you know, if you make a change over here, what's it going to do over here in the system? It could create unintended negative effects in some other part of this person's system. They're protecting for a reason. And so unless that intent is somehow preserved or incorporated, that oftentimes your work, it won't be as effective, or it may, you know, the problem itself will resurface in some other way. The other element is, as learners, in here, you're going to be learning all these nifty change work processes that are very effective. When you select the issue that you want to work on with your partner, keep in mind the context that many people in the room they're just learning. This is maybe the first time that they've ever done this process. So don't choose your deepest trauma to work on for the first time, you know? Choose the things in your life that are a little bit lighter, you know, maybe light to mid-level type things that you would feel comfortable practicing on in here, that you feel like you could work with this person in there, because they're learning too. They're learning how to do the process, while you might be the client in the practice and like you're saying, you don't want to open up this massive wound and then the person goes, oh my gosh, the dragon just ran out of the basement and I don't know what to do with it. You know, So honor each other's process that way, if you would, you know, and so that you can not only learn, you know, as a practitioner, but also to make the personal changes that you want to make in a safe way with somebody who can really be helpful for you. So thank you for bringing that up. That's very important. What's nice too, I'll catch that here in just a sec. What's really nice too is that there's, you know, so one set of things you could work on are the things in the past that you haven't resolved yet, okay, that maybe you're still intruding or haunting the present. So that's one kind of personal change work that you could do here in the course of this training. The other is if this isn't the appropriate environment for you to do that for whatever personal reason, totally fine. There's a whole, you can almost do everything in NLP with going, hey, I'm already okay. I just want to take it to the next level. You know, I just want to enhance other aspects of my life. I'd like to be maybe more confident or other types of things. So it's more of a forward focus of going, this is how I want to be in my ideal way of being in the world. And you can use the NLP processes to do that as opposed to doing something that's more therapeutic or healing of the past. Does that make sense? So you don't necessarily have to do any deep therapeutic work here to learn NLP. The other nice thing too is that in NLP we refer to this as content free. Almost all of the NLP processes can be done without you sharing any content at all. You don't have to reveal the details of the scenario. For example, if you had a habit that you wanted to change, we don't necessarily need to know what the habit is for you to change it. Because it could be a deep and brutal addiction on one level, you know, that you don't want to reveal that you're struggling with. Or it might just be, you know, hey, I hit the snooze button too many times, you know, in the morning, you know. So it can have that range, and with NLP you'll learn how to do that without necessarily knowing the content. Sometimes it's helpful and sometimes it's actually not helpful because you can get lost in the story very easily. One more comment, and then we'll get busy.
Also, a little bit to hook into what Damon said. Sometimes when you start with something simple, you dig out the dragon. There are resource people here also. Mm-hmm. So when you get into a heavy emotional state, call on us, please. Okay?
Yep. We're here to support you. We want the learning environment to be safe and to support your learning. So that's why we have these magnificent resource people and have lots of them. You're actually quite blessed in this particular training to have extra resource people. And not only extra resource people, but extra resourceful resource people. So that's even better.